You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back, I'm very pleased to say, joined by Joe Guzzardi, a man who has been in the trenches of the struggle on immigration policy for quite a number of years now. We're catching up with him at the Federation for American Immigration Reform's 10th Radio Row, which they call Hold Their Feet to the Fire. Joe Guzzardi, you've been doing that admirably. We're delighted to have you with us. Joe is a media director and senior writing fellow for the Californians for Population Stabilization. And as I say, has an interesting background in this space, and I'm anxious to have you share that with our audience. Welcome back.
Thank you very much for having me back. Yes, I got my baptism in fire, so to speak, as a English as a second language instructor. I had a career change around 1986. I moved back to California, where I was born and raised, and was offered a job teaching English to migrant Mexican farm workers and anybody else who wanted to learn English. Just at that time, the Immigration Reform and Control Act was being worked through Congress and ultimately signed by President Reagan. So one of the conditions, very interestingly, one of the conditions of getting that green card was that applicants had to spend 40 classroom hours learning English. Of course, that's nowhere near enough to learn a new language, but at least it was an effort to get people started. And working all of those years in the school district, I began to learn and to see the intricacies and the complexities of immigration.
What was your principal insight, if you had to reduce it to a minute or so?
My principal insight was that there were a lot more immigrants, illegal immigrants, in the San Joaquin Valley and in California and in the United States than had been anticipated. And I found, disappointingly, I found that there was a lot less interest in learning English and assimilating into the general population than I had hoped to see.
We're visiting with Joe Guzzardi. He has been a teacher, an investment banker before that, a man who has firsthand experience with illegal aliens, trying to teach them English, trying to help them assimilate into this country. When you found, A, that there were more of them than we were led to believe, and B, there was less of an appetite to become part of the fabric of American society, this must have been somewhat shocking to you and distressing. Did that sort of sense of what we were facing seem to be perceived by officials in your native state of California or the federal government?
It was indeed shocking because I was a novice teacher and my background was not in immigration or in social issues at all. It was in banking. So I anticipated that there would be a lot of keen interest in taking this opportunity to learn English free, completely free. But I was leery right off the bat because what the students were allowed to do was get to 40 hours. That was the goal. They had to spend 40 hours. But they could come 1 hour on Monday and then not show up for another 2 weeks and then take another hour. And so, you know, that is clearly not the pattern to learn a language. And then there were a bunch of students that showed up and then they got a doctor's slip or something. So-and-so can't come. So they were excused. Somebody else didn't have transportation. They were excused. And the whole thing was cosmetic at best.
And what are the implications, as you see it, Joe, of having large numbers of Americans? I was looking at something you'd written recently at the CAPS website about a hearing that Randy Forbes held in the House Judiciary Committee, I believe, recently, which indicated just as one data point, and there's so many in this business, but one data point, something like 3.1 million immigrants have been registered by the Census Bureau as having come to the United States just in 1 year, 2012 to 2013. What are the implications if they do not want to be part of America, if they do not want to, you know, learn our language and presumably assimilate?
It's terrible. I mean, what I used to tell my students was you need to come and learn English unless you want to be doomed to a lifetime of low wages, a lifetime of being exploited on the job, a lifetime where your children are going to grow up not speaking English either because you don't speak it in the home. There's more than 40% of California households speak a language other than English at home. So it's terrible. And Randy was concerned about census undercounting. And that's a big problem because, this, you know, a government official, a Census Bureau official knocks on somebody's door and says, hey, I'm here to count the illegal immigrants living in this house. And I've talked to those
guys. The response presumably is not terribly forthcoming.
Yeah, no, right. No, they're not, you know, they're not invited in for coffee. And I've talked to those guys, and they have told me that, you know, the door opens a small crack and they can look in and they see, okay, I see, I think maybe four kids. And this guy is telling me that there's two people in the house. So that's certainly that's an undercount, that number.
I'm interested in what all of this means. And maybe we could just start with in your state of California. I've heard Victor Davis Hanson. I've talked with your colleague Michael Cutler and others about just the demographics, let alone the stress on social services, the education system, you know, the taxpayers, the healthcare programs, and so on. What are you seeing firsthand as a result of what's been developing through illegal immigration in California alone?
The demographics are really dramatic. If you take some of these cities that maybe 25 years or so ago were 10, 12, 14% Hispanic, now they're 35, 40, 45, even 50% Hispanic. So there's been a huge shift in the demographics, and there are clearly enclaves of Spanish speakers, you know, Mexicans and Central Americans and so forth, that have no intention whatsoever of assimilating into the mainstream culture of California. And again, you know, as I encourage my students to learn English because it could only improve their lot in life, there are so many things to enjoy and to do in California that they just simply don't take advantage of.
One of the things Michael shared with me before is that were the United States government to actually confer an amnesty on the illegal aliens in this country, and of course we've had the good news just today of the Supreme Court telling President Obama he can't do that, but were they to get an amnesty, that immediately, and I don't know if that's an exaggeration, but I gather it's not, immediately many of them would be eligible to bring family members here as well, with various kinds of implications for, again, the infrastructure, the water supply, social services, and so on. Should this be one of the things we're factoring in to calculations about allowing this policy to continue unchecked, let alone be aggravated by an amnesty?
It's easily proven. It's easily proven. In 1986, when President Ronald Reagan signed the Immigration Reform and Control Act, at that moment there were effectively zero illegal immigrants in the United States. There were a small handful of people that didn't take advantage of it, but effectively there were zero. Now, 30 years later, there are allegedly 12 million illegal immigrants here, but probably many more than that. So there's no question that amnesties incentivize more amnesties and incentivize more people coming to the United States in anticipation of that next amnesty.
Indeed. With profound repercussions, demographic,
sure. Yeah.
As well as societal, cultural,
I mean, I worked in the school district and a California school district for many years, and it was a real nightmarish situation.
I know, and it's probably worse yet today. Joe Guzzardi, thank you for what you
do,
at California's for Population
Thanks.
Stabilization.
Very nice to be with you again.
Here at Radio Row for FAIR. Keep up the good work, my friend.
Thank you.
Next up, we'll talk with Tom Tancredo, former member of Congress and one of the great heroes in the immigration wars.
Indeed.
Right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.